telling lies and buying time, killing people next in line, lower class and social slime, they don't matter, genocide, sick from water, sick from air, making money, they don't care, Caesar shit, force of air, fuck them back, it's only for they war, they shoot, they kill, they mass on parade, they burn the kids, no one lives gun, trees, lie to your face, fight, and die, this God will give. Buying time, killing people next in line, lower classes, social slime, they don't matter, genocide, sick from water, sick from air, making money, they don't care, see their shit, force a bear, fuck them back, it's only fair, they bomb, they shoot, they kill, they massacre, rape, they burn, the kids, no one makes gun, trees, lie, to your face, fight, and die, cause God forgives, yeah.
Welcome to the show. I'm your host, Ron Stevens. This is Rock the Boat right here on UCY.TV. It is the 29th of November 2016, and it was a bloody gorgeous day today. Wish we could have been outside all day, but we're hacking away at that renovation inside. So anyways, I got some good news for a change. My good friend Michael Schmidt, the milk farmer, if I can find that, Michael Schmidt, the milk farmer from Durham, Ontario, who's been fighting the government psychopaths for 20-some years now over his right to milk his cows and for people to drink the milk, got some good news yesterday. They were in Newmarket Court again over a sheep napping case in which the government decided, a lady by the name of Montana Jones's sheep had scrapie or something, and this happened I think back in 2010, and they've been dragged in on a court all this time. And, you know, I knew they were going to, it was finally, the whole deal was finally thrown out of court. The Crown withdrew its case. And it's, you know, no compensation for the people they dragged through court all those years. No compensation whatsoever. And, you know, do these people go and sue the government now? Well, what happens is they'll drag this out for another 10, 15, 20 years and run up a bunch of court costs. And then the government say it didn't do anything wrong. And then Michael Schmidt and Montana Jones will be on the hook for probably several billion dollars in court costs. And therefore, justice is once again not done. I'll put this in the chat. If you don't know about this story, it's well worth looking into because this was going on all over the place. The government is trying to destroy the farmers, and trying to shut down rural anywhere to move people off the land and into the cities. It's freaking criminal what's going on. And people are finally starting to catch on. This idea of, don't buck the government, which has been drilled into people since they were born for generation after generation after generation, is finally wearing thin, and the truth is coming forward. And now people are prepared to stand up to these psychopathic sociopaths. And so, where did my link to UCY go? There it be. But you really need to, if you want to see what a fight's all about and the fact that we all got to get involved, this is a good story as far as that's concerned, because it shows the tenacity of these people who did nothing wrong. Right from the get-go, it was the government that did everything wrong. They come in and they told Montana Jones that she had to kill her sheep. Now, they're heritage sheep, and of course, we don't want any difference in the animals. We only want corporate animals. And they ended up, they were going to kill all her sheep. And even though there was no proof that there was anything wrong with the sheep, and in the end, what happened was that somebody came along, and before the Ministry of Death could get to the farm to kill her sheep, somebody left a note on the barn and transported the sheep away from that farm to a safe place. Eventually, they caught up to the sheep and killed all the sheep. And found out that there was nothing wrong with the sheep. And this has been dragged on since 2010, and it's finally over. But like they say, it's absolutely hollow victory because they actually wanted to run this and get it into trial so that they could show the criminality of the government. And the government knew this was brewing, so they took the opportunity to say, "Oh well, we took too long to get to the trial, so therefore we'll just call it a day," which they've done so many times in the past. So I don't know. Michael had to be in court today again in Waukerton, Ontario, for a what was the name? Let me look it up here. Let me see what we got going on here for find this. See if we got any news. I haven't had a chance, been too busy to talk to Michael lately. And I'm just curious if, okay, I don't see. He had to be in court again today for, what the heck do they call that? What was his, what the hell's the word I'm looking for? They backed up the government anyways, and they forced the government to leave the farm. And I was going to put this in here too. This is, I don't know if anybody that's listening to this is on Facebook, but I'm going to put this, put support Michael Smith's Facebook in here. I'm still trying to think of the word that I'm looking for. They were charged, Michael and a few other people were charged. With delaying or standing in the way of the government doing its supposed job. And the heck's going on with this computer? Okay, I'll throw this in the chat as well. So I'm really pleased that this sheep nonsense is over, but obstruction charges, there it is right there on the page. Sheep napping case dismissed today in Newmarket, now on to obstruction of justice case tomorrow morning in Wacherton Court. So Michael had to go back there. I've been over there once or twice to that case. The Crown withdrew the charges on Enos Martin, who was also charged with obstruction during the raid on Michael's farm a year ago, October, I guess. And they didn't want Enos testifying in the court because Enos is presently civilly suing the police. And they didn't want his testimony coming out in court. So they dismissed the charges against him, but not against Michael Schmidt, who they've been trying to hammer. This is, you know, they talk about these free men on the land or whatever they call them, you know, vexatious court proceedings and that. And this is what they've been doing to Michael. I mean, they are trying to destroy him via paper. In 22 years, he's caused no one any harm. He's done some phenomenal good work. And yet they just keep firing paper at him, keep raiding his farm, trying to get him to submit. The one thing they will never get Michael Schmidt to do is submit. And I think they're starting to get that now. Several charges in the past now have been withdrawn, have dragged on for years. And you know, you couldn't meet a nicer guy than Michael. You really couldn't. I've known him now for about 10 years, I guess. And I don't know where you would find a more moral, dedicated, good-humored, man than Michael Schmidt. And if you don't know anything about Michael Schmidt, you can look him up on Facebook, but I'm going to stick this in here as well. And he's been trying to alert people through his work at his farm of what's going on. There's actually a video there on Michael's Facebook having to do with the sheep napping and the end of it. And it's well worth listening to as well. I think you might have to go to the 7 minute mark. The first 7 minutes is really Montana Jones. Somebody brought a sheep to the courthouse, and just to put a smile on Montana's face. And but the video itself is well worth watching. There's some really good stuff in there. And this is the legal system that we live in. It has nothing to do with law. It's their just us system. And it's about them, and it's about them feeding off of us. And, you know, they are parasites, and more people are becoming aware of that all the time, which is good. Now, the mayors and that, I'm just going to take a quick boo here, see if I got any updates on Michael's case from today. See what I can dig out here. Yeah, I'll just let anybody read that that's in the chat. Or if you're listening, you can just put in support Michael Schmidt Facebook, and you'll dig up the story and the videos and all that kind of stuff. All over the world, not just here in Canada or America, the same thing's going on. You know, the farmers are struggling. They're getting buried in paper and regulations that have no validity, no sense of reality. Just trying to kill whatever it is they can kill. So in Ontario here, if I can dig this up, I've been trying to close out tabs. It makes it difficult for me. I guess my freaking tabs open. Let me see what I can find here. We have Mayor John Tory. Now, Mayor John Tory, there was the thing on the, he's the mayor of Toronto, Ontario, largest city in the country. And there was a headline saying, "I'm ready to lead John Tory." And what he's going to do here is he's going to put toll roads on all the major roads in the Toronto area in order to raise money for the Smart Track and the Everything Green game. This is Mayor John Tory is poised to throw his support behind imposing tolls on the Gardiner Expressway and the Don Valley Parkway, the Toronto Sun has learned. Tory will announce he is ready to target our drivers on the city's highway when he unveils possible revenue tools, new taxes, and fees during his speech to Toronto Board of Trade on Thursday. A source told the Toronto Sun the mayor is dedicated to building transit and infrastructure. While the city has been reviewing many possible ways of generating cash, including a hotel tax, the sell-off of assets, road tolls are likely the most controversial. Right-wing councillors who traditionally supported Tory will be the most likely to oppose the measure. Those on the left are most likely to welcome the move. The city has $30 billion worth of projects, including Tory's Smart Track surface rail project and other transit lines, and there is no money to pay for any of it. The move towards road tolls is somewhat of a flip-flop for Tory, who has in the past years opposed or been lukewarm to the idea of hitting up drivers for using roads already paid for with taxes. Tory was also approached was also approached the Ontario Liberal government about imposing a hotel tax, a move that could require provincial approval. Documents obtained by the Toronto Sun show that Premier Kathleen Wynne looked favorably on the idea. The city has also raised the prospect of selling off parts of Toronto Hydro. Tory has maintained that the city must keep majority control of the utility. Now, John Tory has a is a player in Rogers Cable as well. He's well financed personally. But everything in this about the toll roads, I mean, this is the one thing. The Toronto Sun writes this because it's a right-wing paper. And so we're stuck with this left-right garbage all the time. But the fact of the matter is, none of the newspapers, not one media outlet, will tell you what's going on here. And that is, this is the UN globalist corporate agenda. And the idea is to take people off the roads. What's not sustainable? Private vehicles. And put them on the light rail transits or on the buses or the GO trains or whatever. But they never mention that stuff. You know, the only good thing in here that is said was, why are you paying a toll to drive on a road you already paid for with your taxes? Good question. And hopefully people get ticked off about it. Not sure that they will. Not sure if they know how to stand up anymore, but the idea is to basically drive everyone into poverty, and then they can bring in that damnable globalist UN corporate nonsense of guaranteed basic income. If we ever get there, we're done like dinner. If we ever allow them to break people the way they're trying to, and that allow them to implement that guaranteed income, then you are run 100%. Your life, handed over, belongs to the UN, the psychopaths that started the damn thing, the globalist elite, whatever you want to call them, and the corporations. You know, I never seen such a wonderful scam. You know, they needed to pick something that was global. It could only be fixed at the global level. And that was the environment. So all you got are these clowns who want these transit systems because they hate cars. These are people like bike paths and bicycles. They hate cars. So that's good. So we can push the agenda. Well, why would you drive a car when you can get on light rail transit? Don't you care about the planet? The problem with these green NGOs and idiots is that they think that this is about saving the earth. This is about the corporate takeover of the earth is what it's about. You know, I can see in the future environmentalists jumping off bridges and high buildings. When it finally sinks into their stupid heads that they got completely hoodwinked with this environmental nonsense. I mean, we saw what was going on when Trump got elected. The left's having a meltdown. Their brains are imploding. The professors in the universities' brains are imploding. The preachers' brains are imploding. Because it's all about saving the environment. Donald Trump doesn't want to save the environment. It's all about migration, and you don't need to be, you can just go to any country you want. And they're worried that maybe they're going to shut down the borders. And the left are going, why do you need borders for? Well, we're supposed to be nations. And unfortunately, none of the nations are lawful. They're all legal. And they're all businesses. But if it was, you know, it's about protecting your society. It's about protecting your beliefs and all the rest of this stuff. It's about being basically separate peoples. You know, their Babylonian kick where we're all one and we have to diversify. And to diversify is no more than extinguishing what was there. So what you thought your country was isn't, and it certainly won't be unless you stand up and do something about it. This has got nothing to do with racism whatsoever. Absolutely nothing to do with racism. It has to do with some reality. And what we have here is non-reality. We have a real mess on our hands. Now, when we look at some of these other local stories, we've seen these things over and over and over again. We have here Hydro One. Okay. There's so many people in Ontario now that can't afford their hydro bills. So Hydro One, which is still a portion of the government in a way, but not, it's a business. And so they're not going to disconnect people in the wintertime. But Hydro One only is looking after the rural areas and not the towns. Anything that had a decent population with very little space between the houses and that were taken over, given over to companies that were constructed through amalgamations with other municipalities and that under public-private partnership, which when nobody was looking was turned into a completely private situation. Now they will cut your power off if you're a nickel over or under. These people are ruthless. And so this idea that Hydro One is approving a moratorium on disconnections. Now, they always had a moratorium on disconnections from December 1st to, I think, April 1st. You couldn't cut the power off because it's coal. So they made this big announcement that they've approved a moratorium. Well, they've always had the moratorium. The only thing they approved was from the 1st of December. They moved it back to like the 25th of November or something. Whoop, whoop. You know, they moved it back a week. And this is supposed to make people feel better. Well, if you can't afford your hydro bill in the wintertime and you're not paying it in the wintertime because you can't afford the damn thing, what comes April 1? If you couldn't afford your monthly bills, now they've stacked up over the winter, how are you going to pay those? You're not. You're not going to pay them because you can't pay them. And how is it people here can't pay their hydro bill? Well, they put it up, I don't know what, 1,000% or whatever, and continue to raise it. And people are not getting paid enough. We don't manufacture anything here. This is a constructed takedown of your towns and cities and states, provinces, and country. And it's going on at every level of government, but in particular, the local levels. So here we have the government working again. I just want to choke these people. Public health, the public health is recruiting teenagers for smoke sting. Teenage shoppers are needed, so there's a help wanted. Are you a teenager looking for work? Okay. This has gone on in history over and over and over again. This is the old squealing program. Teenager shoppers are needed to help the public health units, tobacco, education, and enforcement officers catch retailers selling smokes to underage customers. This has been done in history in the past, not just with smokes. All kinds of things. You turn the people against each other. Canada better than U.S. in 2016 Freedom Index. Canada has emerged near the top of the 2016 Human Freedom Index, well ahead of the United States. Well, I ain't a human. You're not a human. But the media calls you human because they look at you as an animal. They cannot recognize a man, so they can't call you a man. They don't recognize that. They only deal in the fictional world. So human freedom. Well, that's, I suppose, maybe unless you're a white male, and then it's not so good. All white males are skinhead, white supremacist, and racist, and anti-Semitic, apparently. And only the migrants and immigrants are good people. So the town of Owen Sound, which is about 50, this is going all over the province now. Owen Sound calls for moratorium on school closures. Owen Sound has now added its voice to the call for the province to slap a moratorium on closing rural schools. At Monday night's meeting, City Council unanimously passed a motion similar to the one approved November 24th in a joint session of Bruce and Gray County Councils that urges Education Minister Mitch Hunter to put a halt to any further rural school closures until the pupil accommodation review guidelines can be rewritten to include both community and economic considerations. Now, not that long ago, Owen Sound calls for moratorium on wind farms. And then it would say, at Monday night's meeting, City Council unanimously passed a motion similar to the one approved November 24th at a joint session of Bruce and Gray County that urges Energy Minister to put a halt to any further wind farm development. These are all templates. The school board knows exactly what's going on. The city council knows exactly what's going on. The newspaper knows exactly what's going on. Most of the public are scratching their head, asking themselves, what's going on? And now they say, oh, well, this is good. Owen Sound and the county and the Bruce Huron counties have come up looking for a moratorium on school closures. Not why are they closing the schools? What's the purpose of the school closures? No, none of that ever comes forward. Just the fact that it calls for a moratorium. Well, the Owen Sound, the municipal council, has no authority to stop the province or stateside, the state, to doing whatever the hell they want. The municipalities are in the child position. In other words, they're created by the province, and they are bound because the province is the parent or the state is the parent, depending on where you live, to do the bidding of the parent. You shall honor and obey your parent. So while they had asked for a moratorium on windmills, and they offered asking for a moratorium on school closures and moratoriums on this and moratoriums on that, they know full well, as does the media, that they're bound to do what the province / state tells them to do. Unfortunately, the people don't get that, and they think that these councillors and that are on their side. They're not on your side. They're on nobody's side. It's an amoral legal system where the municipalities are bound to do the bidding of the parent, which is the province or the state, and if they fail to do so, the province or the state has the right to walk into the municipality and shut it down and remove all councillors from that municipality and then put their own people in. So it's all lies and smokes and mirrors, and every newspaper, every radio station, every city hall ought to be sued. Because they are definitely harming the people, so why are they closing the schools? Simple. Same reason they're shutting down the grocery stores in the towns. Same reason they're shutting the gas stations down and the banks down and the post office down. They're taking all the services out of the towns to make it more and more and more difficult for people in their so-called community to have a so-called normal community life with the services one would expect in a so-called community. And that forces people to move out of these places into bigger and bigger and more high-density areas. Now, the media knows what's going on. The counselors know what's going on. The preachers know what's going on. The teachers know what's going on. The general public? And that's unfortunate. That is totally unfortunate. You know, we've got the mayor bitching and complaining about the mayor of Owen Sound, bitching and complaining about the hydro bill that they're getting. And then the people say, see, what are we going to do? Well, you're not going to do anything because you don't have the power to do anything. You have no power whatsoever to do anything about anything. Because the municipalities, cities, town council have no authority whatsoever to do anything except what they're told to do. I'm looking for another story here. And it has to do with, here's a story that I just read the other day. I don't see it today in this particular paper, but a guy not that far away from us, a grocery store owner, he retrofitted his grocery store in order to try to save some money on his electrical bill. They got a lot of coolers and freezers and all that kind of stuff. A lot of hydro being run in the grocery store. So he went out and spent tens of thousands of dollars. Maybe I can find that story. I know where I can find it. I'll look here. Hundreds of thousands of dollars. Where is that damn story? There's a restaurant owner shutting down because he can't afford the hydro bill anymore. But where's the one I'm looking for here? Oh, here it is. If it'll pop up for me. Come on. I swear my internet's getting slower by the day. Okay, so here's the story. Milverton grocery stores' energy retrofits result in a higher hydro bill. So this guy goes out and spends tens of thousands of dollars to retrofit his grocery store. And when he's all done spending tens of thousands of dollars, his hydro bill is 30% higher than it was before he spent all the money to try to save on hydro. It goes on here, it says, Milverton Food Town's expensive energy retrofit resulted in a 30% increase in its hydro bill. Perth Wellington MPP Randy Pettiplace said Food Town's owner Mike Carter installed energy efficient lighting, new efficient freezers, and new refrigerators. He invested tens of thousands of dollars to become more efficient and expected a lower hydro bill. In an email signed by Jessica at Hydro One, the utility offered the following explanation for Carter's higher hydro bills. On an annual basis, a review of consumption is conducted in order to ensure that accounts are billing with the correct service type. He just thought he was buying electricity. It went on to explain that the reduced hydro usage. Okay, so he's using less hydro now. Spent tens of thousands of dollars. He's using less hydro and expects a lower bill. Would make sense to just about anybody except for our new hydro system, which is a UN hydro system. It went on to explain that the reduced hydro usage prompted the utility to switch his business from its general service demand to general service energy billing category. So he used less energy. He was in the general service demand category, but when his power consumption went down, they moved him to something called the general service energy billing category. And by doing so, his price went up, or his cost went up by 30%. Now, Pettipiece shares Carter's frustration, saying his experience is another example of the Liberal government's totally inept hydro policy. Pettiplace stood in the Ontario legislature on Thursday to ask, having done all the right things, having invested tens of thousands of dollars to become more efficient, does the Premier agree that Mike should expect a lower hydro bill? With her energy minister not in the legislature while facing bribery allegations, Premier Kathleen Wynne referred the issue to Brad Duguid, the Ministry of Economic Development and Growth. The question went unanswered. Instead of admitting the problem, the minister's response was more liberal spin. Pettiplace said it was arrogant, out of truth, out of touch, and completely dismissed my constituents' concerns. Last Saturday, the Premier admitted the Liberal government has made a mistake. By allowing electricity rates to soar, she made the remarks at the Liberal Party's annual meeting in Ottawa. Well, this is so full of garbage, again, coming from the media. The media knows exactly what's going on. this opposition MPP Randy guy knows exactly what's going on. They all know they're lying to this guy whose bill went up. And none of them give a sweet Jesus about the guy from the food store. Not the opposition member said came forward and he's disgusted and he brought it up in the House and yada, yada, yada. He don't give a sweet bejumpins. He's looking for votes. This guy is an MPP. I would think he is a conservative because I can't see any Greens or NDP being voted in up in this direction. So we'll just call him. It doesn't matter if he's NDP or progressive conservative. Anyways, because it started, this hydro scam started with the NDP. Then it moved over to the conservatives. And now it's in the hands of the liberals. All of them pushing the globalist UN corporate agenda. But doesn't say that anywhere in these reports. They just nitpicking at each other, and then you get the people who read this story going, yeah, I'm voting PC, I'm voting for conservatives next time. We've had enough of these dumbass liberals. Well, it wasn't the liberal Minister of Energy that was being flown down to Enron's office to put the scam together. It was a conservative MP. So what are you bitching about the liberals for? But none of this ever comes out in the media. And again, all media outlets ought to be sued. When instead saying that last Saturday, the premier admitted the liberal government has made a mistake by allowing electricity rates to soar. Well, that's an out-and-out lie. Because the Liberal government has no authority whatsoever to lower or raise hydro rates. The Ontario Energy Board is the one that decides on the price. But that's never mentioned in the media either. It's also never mentioned that the OEB is, while legislated by the government, is untouchable by the very government that brought it about. So it's just a bunch of lies. This poor bugger, the grocery store, what's he getting out of this? Nothing. He's probably going to shut his store down. And Milverton's a small little place. And guess what? I'm pretty sure it's the only grocery store there. And what happens when that rural grocery store shuts down? The town starts to die. People have to travel further. It becomes extremely inconvenient. Their cost of traveling back and forth where they could go downtown and get some groceries, now maybe they got to drive 25, 30 miles to get groceries. Well, the price of fuel just keeps going up. Now it doesn't make any sense. Why are we driving this far to get our groceries and going back home? We might as well just move. And that's what's going on. They're driving the people out of the towns. All government is member state of the UN. And this is the agendas they're pushing at us. But they never tell you what they're doing. They play this same game over and over and over again. And people just don't seem to catch on to it. But they're going to have to soon. I mean, people are catching on because they're watching their towns die. You know, they're watching their small towns literally die right before them. And it's by plan. And hopefully people wake up before this is completely too far gone. Now, here's a story that, here's a story that's pretty regular, former priest charged in sex case. That's pretty routine. We have another fatal shooting by the police. Ontario Provincial Police Watchdog is investigating a fatal shooting in Nipigon. I don't know what happened there. They always make these stories really short. And the Special Investigation Unit says OPP officers were called to the local residence Saturday evening when they had an interaction with a man. The SU says one of the officers fired his weapon, striking the man who was later pronounced dead in a hospital. Seven investigators have been assigned to the case. The SIU is an arm's length agency that investigates reports involving police where there's been a death, serious injury, or allegations of sexual assault. Now, while the SIU is an arm's length agency, so are the OPP, an arm's length agency. Nobody in the government can tell the police what to do. Freaking brilliant. So the police shoot somebody, and they'll look into that, and it'll come up, and they'll say it was a justified shooting. But this is a terrible story that should scare the hell out of everybody. Illegal smokes in Ontario on the rise. Man holds, oh Jesus, hey, here's a picture, and the caption below it, a man holds a smoking cigarette near Belleville City Hall on Friday, December the 11th, 2015, in Belleville, Ontario. This is a picture from Post Media. Smokers' use of contraband tobacco is pervasive and growing in Ontario, according, of course, to another new study. David Bryans of the Ontario Convenience Stores Association said that 32%, 32.8% of cigarette butts collected in the study, are you ready for this? Were from illegal sources, an increase of 8% from 2015. The finding raises questions about the effectiveness of government attempts to curb the spread of tobacco sold illegally off First Nation reserves, he said. Well, I was up at the reserve Sunday after the show. We went up there to get some smokes, and we bought four cartons, which cost us $160. And if we bought them in town here, legal smokes, it would have cost $320 or more. Well, it would have been closer to $350. But apparently, I'm smoking illegal smokes. Now, they're telling me that the native communities are illegal, or that because I'm not a native, I can't smoke a smoke from the reserve, even though they can sell them to me, but then I'm smoking illegal smokes. Now, I've seen they put big fines on this now if you take so many cigarettes out of the reserve. But what's the difference between illegal smoke and legal smoke? You know, what's the difference between legal marijuana and illegal marijuana? Well, one, and the only difference, is monopoly control. And that's government. And that's mafioso. If the government controls it, it's legal. If you don't get it from them and pay through the nose for it, then it's illegal. It's the same thing. It's the same plant. It's the same product. But I'm apparently taking money out of the government's pocket. This is from the big pickpockets themselves, whining and bitching and complaining about not getting their money. It's shocking, no less. The findings raise questions about the effect of, yeah, okay. It's actually discouraging and shocking at the same time, Brian said. Every year we hear in provincial budgets, or we hear from different levels of government, that we're gonna do something to correct the contraband. And then when we do this unscientific sweep, it now increases again. Use across Ontario was up 25% of cigarette butts collected in the GTA were contraband, 26% in southwestern Ontario, 29.3 in eastern Ontario, and an astounding, everybody sit down while I read this data. An astounding 54.2% of all smokes in Northern Ontario are illegal. This is a product that has no advertising, no promotion, no marketing plan, nothing, Brian said. And you're starting to see 34% of all smokers having access to the product delivered to them in every single community. Smokers can purchase quality contraband tobacco for an average of $37 a carton compared to $100 in a convenience store. Okay, so I was wrong on the numbers. So what I paid for, we pay $40 a carton in the reserve we go to. So it costs us $160 for four cartons, and it would have cost us, according to this newspaper piece of garbage, it would have cost us $400 to buy the same number of cigarettes. But, you know, at least the articles say, and the smokers can purchase, in quote, quality smokes, contraband tobacco for an average $37 a carton. So the quality's there, and we just save a lot of money. There are dozens of cigarette factories on reserves and an underground system of gangs to bring the product to buyers. Now, have you ever heard anything more ridiculous in this mainstream media? There are dozens of cigarette factories on reserves, granted, because they're allowed to make cigarettes on the reserves. But to go this far, to say an underground system of gangs, in Ontario to bring the product to buyers, including underage smokers, he said. At the very least, governments should consider banning possession of tobacco for youth, but they've been reluctant to do so, he said. You see a high school student standing next to a high school drinking beer at lunch hour, said Brian. The Ontario government said in the spring that it continues to strengthen tobacco enforcement, which included a raw leaf tobacco oversight system. Since 2008, more than 252 million contraband cigarettes, 4.3 million untaxed cigarettes, and 169 million grams of untaxed fine-cut tobacco or other tobacco products have been seized by the finance ministry, the government said in a statement. O'Brien said the continuing spread of illegal tobacco use should be a cautionary tale as the country moves to legalized marijuana. It would not take much effort for factories now churning out illegal cigarettes to focus on pot production, he said. This is just how completely out to lunch this so-called thing, this thing called government is. And why we put up with this garbage is beyond me. You know, because earlier I said they're hiring students to go into stores. And I know a girl that got busted twice for, I think it was $500 fine of crack. She's making like 11 bucks or whatever the minimum wage is working in a corner store and got busted twice. And now if you're 67 years old, she's going to ask you for ID. I mean, it's absolutely retarded. But they always say the government's doing this for the benefit of society. If they wanted to benefit society, they would throw themselves all in jail or into a psych ward somewhere because they're completely nuts. It's all about revenue. Government is nothing but revenue. Revenue streams. They will make a revenue stream out of whatever the hell they can make a revenue stream out of because they ain't got no money and they ain't a government and they just a bunch of leeches feeding off you and me and everybody else. They work less, get better benefits, better holidays, better pensions than the working stiffs that they're feeding off of. Then they turn around and they put a new rule in here or a new regulation that you're supposed to follow, and all it does is take money out of your pocket. And it's about time people clued into that. Let's see here. We're getting an electric vehicle charger to where? Saugeen First Nations. Saugeen First Nation, that's where I go to get my smoke, but I don't have an electric car. The eighth and last electric vehicle charging station committed to by Bruce Power, which used to belong, largest, I think it's still the largest nuclear plant on the planet, they were the first ones. I mean, how, have you ever heard it so ridiculous? It's, this was after Morris Strong showed up here, brought here by his godson, leader of the NDP at the time. We got the world's largest nuclear plant, and then all of a sudden we got windmills around it, promoting that windmills and nuclear power have something in common, or that these whirligigs out in the field have some kind of capacity to produce power at the rate of a nuclear plant. And now that's been sold off, and it's been privatized, the nuclear plant. And so now the nuclear plant does its little community shit, right? So they've put one in the parking lot here in my town, downtown parking lot, and people look at it a little confused because they don't know anybody here that has an electric vehicle. But there's that electric vehicle charging station. And then other people are a little pissed off because the municipality, while Bruce Power put it in, the municipality is paying for the power that is going to this charging station. So if you have an electric vehicle, you're charging your vehicle for free. Now you're paying for this thing through your taxes, but if you own an electric vehicle, you can charge up there for free. And then you can go over and pay a buck something, whatever, for your gas a liter. All in the promotion of the end of your vehicles, because, well, you driving a vehicle hurts Mother Earth. You know, and it's just bloody ridiculous. Like, the windmills take more energy to make one than they'll ever produce. But we don't pay attention to that. You know, the electric vehicles use rare minerals and whatnot, and they are very hard on the environment, just as hard on the environment as any fuel car. But it's all a mental thing, eh? It's all a mental thing. It's changing the way you think. My attitude is we need to not change the way we think. We need to begin to think. We need to actually think on our own. We actually got to get enough information so that we can read any of these articles, like I like to try to do on the show, and show the fallacy of the article, the lies and the deception of the article. Most people, they're still stuck in this right-left, government loves me nonsense. And that's the way the articles are written, so that those people of those mindsets who quit thinking long time ago or never had the capacity to think, read these things and go, well, this guy wants to help us out. Wrong answer. So we have to encourage people to learn to read and understand what the hell it is they're reading. Anyways, we're out of time, and we're back here Thursday night, same place, same time. But if you do, I mean, I encourage everyone to look into the Michael Schmidt.
Selling lies and buying time, killing people, next in line, lower classes, social slime, they don't matter, genocide.
Take care, everybody.
Sick from water, sick from air, making money, they don't care, Caesarship, force of air, fuck them back, it's only for the war, they shoot.